This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios, the revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, the Rich Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, it's Tuesday. Happy Tuesday as we're getting through the week here. And 855-839-1210 is our number, 855-839-1210. Busy day, nationally and locally, of course. On the national front, the whole Flynn case is just unraveling. What did Obama know? When did he know it? In what the president is calling now bigger than Watergate, Obama and Biden face scrutiny over their role, Michael Flynn's, I would say, persecution of the general. Locally, we're dealing with still the lockdowns of the coronavirus. In Philadelphia, officials say they can't give a timeline when things will reopen. Can't give a timeline for when things will reopen. Governor Murphy in New Jersey says he's going to try very soon to give us some hard dates, but can't really give us any dates yet. Maybe down the road, but not yet. Not yet. It's May 12th. You realize that Memorial Day is 2 weeks away, the unofficial start of summer. We're talking about now beaches and towns, restaurants, shops that are very, very nervous. Are they going to be able to be open? What's going to happen? And so there's a lot of people now out there protesting. There's a lot of people out there trying to reclaim their sense of freedom. There's also people who are scared that all these reopenings now are going to trigger spikes in viruses. One of those people, of course, being Dr. Anthony Fauci, who today testified in front of the Senate and said, the fear is that if we open too quickly, we're going to see a spike in cases. And then all of this economic shutdown was for naught. Over in Delaware, there is a reopened Delaware event, which is coming up on Saturday. And the Rehoboth Beach Police Department preparing for a crowd and plans to enforce social distancing and the use of masks. This is according to CapeGazette.com. They are working to plan with their partners in the law enforcement community, to include the Attorney General, to develop a plan to ensure public safety throughout the Saturday event. And this is obviously a time when a lot of people want to be out there and be heard. But they say they will not turn a blind eye to violations of the law, whether they be civil or criminal. We ask that those who plan to attend the event take advantage of their right to speak in an orderly manner, compliant with local and state laws, and not detract from their opportunity to deliver a clear message by participating in acts of disobedience, open for interpretation. You know what it is? It's a lot of people are very frustrated right now that there is this blanket lockdown in our region of the country. As you're looking around, other parts of the country are opening up. And this blanket lockdown is getting to a point now where they don't think they're going to be able to recover from it. They're getting to this place, and they're looking around and they're going, wait a second, if these other states are allowed to open, and I'm not in an epicenter where there's a lot of people getting sick and dying, why can't I reopen? And that's the question they're asking. That's the question they're asking. These shore towns, for example, Delaware, Jersey, beaches, they're asking these questions because they're not in these epicenters of infection. And thank God they're not, right? There are businesses in Pennsylvania asking the same questions. Again, they're not in epicenters of infection. There's defiance going on out there. Threats. I mean, I went through this yesterday with you with Governor Murphy. I mean, the threats about he'll take away licenses, he'll take away insurance coverage. Not motivating to the residents to say, we'll come on board, we'll follow, we'll listen. we'll go where you tell us to go. It's not motivating at all. It's downright belittling to people, intelligent people who just want to work, just want to be able to earn an income and keep their family safe, of course. But that's the problem, right? Is that we're looking around at all of this. The numbers have changed. The statistics have changed. The advice has changed. The guidance has changed. And it's not uniform. So we're all being treated like we're in the exact same spot. And we're not. And that is a big problem as well. But how are you doing today? Are you feeling progress? Are you feeling a little bit more optimistic about things? Are you still feeling the frustration of the fact that you are closed down? Are you worried about reopening? Some people are. Some people are very worried about all this reopening that's happening in places outside of our area. And do you think that, in fact, that is something that is a legitimate concern? I have to mention to you, I saw this story before on The Inquirer. Temple Hospital workers say Chinese masks meant to protect against COVID-19 are falling apart. The Chinese-made protective masks Temple University Hospital workers use while treating COVID-19 patients are splitting along the seams, sprouting holes, and breaking along the elastic bands that hold the life-saving equipment onto doctors' and nurses' faces. These are the N95 KN95 masks. 200 workers in the Temple University Health System have tested positive for the virus. Quote, when you're in the front of a patient, the mask falls off your face, what are you going to do? Cover your face with your elbow? Said Celeste Bevins, a radiology tech and a representative of the Temple University Allied Health Professionals Union. You know, this is a real problem, right? The dependence on China, who is clearly our enemy, for so much of our life-saving PPEs. And I don't mean just the masks and the gloves and the gowns, but also the antibiotics. If there is a vaccine that happens before the winter time, and by the way, I'm not here to debate vaccines. I'm just telling you what the White House is saying in terms of the president has said they hope to have one by the end of the year. I'm not going to debate the merits of that with you. I just really find the topic to be bad radio, unfortunately. It's like debating abortion. It's just one of those things where it's just people want to switch in the station. But assuming that the president says there'll be a vaccine by the end of the year, he's telling everybody, go and get this vaccine. We got to get it done. The question, of course, is how it's going to be made and where it's going to be made. And then will any of it be manufactured in China? And then how do we make sure that we're actually getting the real stuff versus the fugazis? And then how do we trust anything that comes out of that country? It'd be the equivalent of, in 1985, buying nuclear radioactive detection devices from the Soviet Union, Geiger counters and anti-nuclear shields, if they even made such a thing, from the Soviet Union at the height of the Cold War with the Russians. We would have thought we were crazy doing that. I mean, if you turned around to me back then in the 1980s and said, here's the deal. I just watched Red Dawn, and I'm going to go and purchase a bunch of antibiotics from the Soviet Union or Cuba. Sound like a good idea? You would have been taken off in a straitjacket. So why, when we know we're in the middle of this very, very cold war with China now, are we still buying so much stuff from them? Now, that's the easy question. The answer, of course, is much more complicated. The answer is because we do not have the ability in this country to make this stuff on our own. I mean, we could, but we have to do a lot of things to get us to that place. We have been so dependent upon the supply chain out of China that whether it's an antibiotic, whether it's a mask or a gown or anything that our frontline workers need, or hell, just you and I may need, so dependent upon China making that we have to turn around and go, wait a second, you mean this crap that we're getting from this country is falling apart on our doctors' and nurses' faces? Then I have to bring up the question that I think is the elephant in the room. How do we know they're not doing this on purpose? Like, how do we know that China is not purposely making masks that fall for doctors' and nurses' faces? If this is a war, isn't that what you do to the enemy? You try to sabotage them? In World War II, did we get stuff made? Did we get imports from Germany and Japan? Did I miss that in my history books? Why are we still dealing with this country? We know that they are a very bad actor who does not have our interests at heart. Why are we still dealing with China right now? You know, yesterday there was the White House press conference, very terse moment between the president and a reporter, and he said, why don't you ask China that question? She got very upset. People thought it was maybe because she was of Asian descent and the president was being racist and that sort of thing. And back and forth it went. What I think he was alluding to was the fact that all of this death comes from a country that covered up this virus in the earliest days and then lied to the world about it when it started to peak and then made people go missing who were the ones trying to get the word out to you and I. We still don't know the truth about the virus. They won't let us in to inspect their facilities, inspect their labs. There is a real sense out there that if we don't get into China right now, right this second, and start looking around at how Wuhan is actually doing, not how the Chinese state media tells me they're doing, but how they're actually doing, they might be having a major problem over there. We just don't know it because we can't know it. That's a problem. And then I pick up this story and I find out that these masks are falling apart at the seams, literally falling apart at the seams. These masks made in China. And I am not in any way, shape, or form suggesting that Chinese Americans are the problem. I am not suggesting, like FDR did, to put them in internment camps with the Japanese, what FDR did. All I'm simply saying is the communist Chinese ruling party hates us. And the sooner we wake up to that fact, the sooner we can protect our doctors and nurses at Temple and God knows who else, where else. This is not the first time this mask story came about. There was another mass story last week about this too, which is that people were saying that a whole shipment of masks from China came in and they were worried that the mask was not actually the protective layer that it was promised to be. And they had to get rid of all the masks, thousands of them, at a critical time when they need them. So let's say, best case scenario, China's just working overtime right now to meet the demands and, you know, you slip up, you make a couple mistakes on 200 KN95 masks that our frontline workers in the United States of America need. Worst case scenario is they're doing this purposely, and then I have to ask, then what are we doing to make sure that if we suddenly needed antibiotics or antiviral drugs and these drugs are made in China, how are we going to make sure these drugs are okay? How are we going to make sure we can get the supply of these drugs too? That's another question, right? How do we make sure we can get an adequate supply? Let's say tomorrow COVID-19 went away, but there was an outbreak of a bacteria that was spreading very, very quickly. And this bacteria can only be cured by a certain antibiotic, which we in the United States of America have instructed asked the Chinese to make for us. You know, our pharmaceutical companies have asked China to make this drug for us. I mean, I have to tell you, I was shocked the day that I went in for a very routine upper endoscopy. I was getting my anesthesia, you know, to go under. Not the good stuff where you sleep for a long time, but you know, like a little bit just to the propofol. And I asked the doctor, I said, so where is this propofol made? And she said, China. And I thought she was kidding. This was back in January. I thought she was kidding, but no, it's true. We make so many drugs. So many drugs are made in China and then brought to the United States of America. So now we have this major outbreak of a bacteria, for example. And then I guess I got to ask the question, if China's making the antibiotics and... Let me just go back to what I said earlier. If in 1985 we said, remember when everybody was, how about the 60s? Remember when everybody was going under their desks and those nuclear drills? Maybe you did as well. Maybe you went under your desk and you hid there because those were the school drills back then, right? You always had to do those drills in case there was a nuclear, but I don't know what those desks were going to do, but maybe they at the time they were special anti-nuclear explosion desks, special solid material to keep that nuclear blast from penetrating you. Let's assume. We found out those desks were made right in the town of, say, Chernobyl. I mean, this is before the meltdown of the nuclear reactor, so maybe so. Would anybody think that was okay? Would anybody think that was a smart move? Would anybody, and then all of a sudden, let's say you got the anti-nuclear desk and you got them, you set them up. All right, kids, go under the desk, practice your drill. And then you realize, wait a second, these desks won't even stay up on their own, let alone withstand a nuclear blast. This is crazy. So let's start building our own desks. All right. It's going to take us several years to ramp up production to meet the demand we need in our own country for the anti-nuclear desks that we all need in our classrooms to practice these amazing drills. I think everybody would turn around at the time and go, A, why are we buying desks from our sworn enemy? And B, why is it going to take so long to ramp up production here? Do you realize that we're in May right now and we're talking about importing masks from China still? importing gowns from China, importing antibiotics from China. I always want to assume the best in people. I do. But from a geopolitical point of view, China wants to dominate the world. And we are the country standing in their way. Do I believe this virus was something China deliberately put out? I think the jury's out. I think the only way we can know for sure is if we send a team of inspectors in there to be able to go and look around and find out, assess the situation, look at their labs, assess their lab security. But they won't let us. So I'm forced to raise questions like that. Questions like, could China be deliberately trying to hurt our country? Now, China, obviously, is a smart enough country to understand that the president of the United States needs to play nice with them on the world stage. But he's also given many signs to them that when this is all over and we switch our production gears to make sure that we don't have to be dependent upon China anymore, there's going to be a price to pay. In New Jersey, three state senators, maybe more by now, have come out and said they want to let business owners and individuals sue China over the economic damage and damage to life and property that China has done by covering up and lying about the Wuhan virus. So I think that is a great idea, trying to hold China accountable for all this. But for our national security purposes, don't you think it's an outrage that here we are in the middle of May and doctors and nurses at Temple University Hospital can't rely on their protective face masks because the seams are falling apart? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Eric is in Thorndale. Eric, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call, Rich. Two things. The thing you're talking about with China. So we're expected to trust a country, a system that has routinely massacred, starved, and imprisoned and murdered hundreds of millions of people in their own country in the first place, which blows my mind away, like you said, from the geopolitical standpoint. And then from a local level, for me, I'm a gym owner and in Chester County, and I don't understand, Rich, how in the world there is absolutely no information put out for us. There is no plan in place. And I worry from the perspective of this. We have no idea when the green zone is from Wolf. There is no communication with small businesses whatsoever. And by the way, this whole thing about funding small businesses is a travesty in this country right now. And it's so frustrating to have a governor, and I'm a Republican, but it's so frustrating to have a governor that absolutely completely dismisses all of our issues. Not, we understand you got to flatten the curve and do all these different things. I understand that. And the deaths are horrible, which they are, but what's the plan? It's such as not just yelling at us that we're deserters or traitors to what we're doing. We're doing everything we can to bolster people in this environment. So I was just overwhelmed and frustrated today, Rich, by everything.
Yeah, I don't blame you. And I think your call is excellent, Eric. And I really appreciate it, my friend. And you say you're a gym owner. Where?
In Thorndale.
What's the name of your gym?
So it's the Parisi Speed School and Training for Warriors in the Thorndale area.
Nice.
We train youth athletes and adults.
Well, I hope you're able to reopen soon. Now, have you thought about defying the governor and opening up anyway?
No, I got to tell you, the reason being, we're in a network of individuals. There's many TFWs in Parisi all over the country, and we've all talked about it. There's a lot in Pennsylvania, and I've got to be honest with you. I'm afraid of losing my license. I'm afraid of losing my insurance. So that's the fear of it. And I truly understand that with gyms, it's very difficult to do distancing and doing all those different things, but there's ways to do it. But we got to be communicated with, and not like we're the pariahs, us and hair, nail salons and hairstylists. We're the pariahs right now in the small business world, because people are saying, well, you can't possibly keep it safe. But I don't agree with that. As long as there's a plan in place, we need some guidance.
If there's a plan, you could achieve anything. I mean, you could have people, as soon as they leave a machine, they have to ring a bell and somebody comes over and disinfects the machine right away. I mean, there's always a plan you could put in place. It may cost you some money to do it, but I'm sure you'd be much more willing to do that than just stay closed indefinitely, right?
Well, if we stay, I would tell you, there's indefinite, you're closed, then you're done. If there's no plan to be in the green zone, I don't know how any small gym owner, boutique gym owner, and it's such a shame, because it builds the culture of the community, which is what we do.
Of course.
And that's the frustrating part.
Eric, thanks, my friend. Hang in there. I wish I had more concrete news for you, but I think that it's outrageous that they don't think a smart guy like yourself or any business owner out there can't come up with a plan to keep their customers safe. It's one of the things I always say over the years. It's the business wants to keep their customers safe and not die. They don't want to kill their customers. It's antithetical to being a successful business. I mean, come on. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's me, Rich, back with you on Afternoon Drive, coming right back. All right, 855-839-1210. Great to be with you in the afternoons again. Of course, back tomorrow morning, 5:30 to 9, even though I was off today. Thanks to my buddy, Michael Pelka, for jumping in. 855-839-1210. Beverly is in Perkasie. Beverly, hi.
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
I'm very well. How are you, Beverly?
Good. I'm doing good. I have a few points to make. Okay, I'm a hairdresser. I work in Bucks County, and I work for a company who is also a retail store. The retail store in the front, the salon in the back. We got a memo from our management team, for our division management team, on May 7th, saying that our store is going to open up for curbside pickup only on May 18th. So my question is, why has that not been announced? Why has Wolf not announced any kind of any promise of any glimmer of hope of reopening anything in Pennsylvania or Bucks County?
Yeah.
So I think it has nothing to do with health and safety. It has to do with who's getting what from who and how much up in Harrisburg. Because if it were about safety, Lowe's wouldn't be open. Lowe's wouldn't be open.
The question really comes down to this. Does the mask keep you safe in Lowe's and Wegmans? And then if it does, then why doesn't it keep you safe in your business?
Exactly. If the masks work, we should all be working. If they don't work, then we shouldn't be forced to wear them. But my point is, I go almost every day to either Lowe's or Wegmans or the food store Weiss because I'm bored out of my mind, absolutely bored out of my mind. And let me tell you, they are jam-packed. Wall-to-wall people, there's no social distancing. They're making out like bandits. There are so many people that are just bored out of their mind that they just roam around these stores and they're profiting from it, whereas a small business runs the risk of losing their license or their...
So are you guys going to do curbside? You guys are going to do curbside service? Is that what you're going to do?
That's what they said, curbside pickup only. And also, one of the girls that work next to us in the Bath and Body Works, they got the same memo, May 18th. They're going to be open for curbside pickup only. So I feel as though they're not telling the residents this because they still got to work out the financial details. Who's going to be responsible for what? Who's going to, you know, if their employees get sick, are they going to be liable for that, which probably ties into Nancy Pelosi's plan that she's got cooking up, her stimulus plan. So it's just so frustrating because even as a hairdresser, you know, I work 4 days a week. I've been doing hair for almost 30 years. When I go back to work, I'm not going to be able to make the money that I was because we're only going to be allowed to do appointment only. We're only allowed to have half occupancy, half the staff, and we have to schedule a 15 to 30 minute break between each client to clean up, to disinfect and clean up.
Yeah.
Hairdressers don't work like that. So not only are we going to go back to work after all this time and have to make up all this money that we lost, now we're going to be standing there for pennies because we can't do our job the way we do our job. Hairdressers don't sit there and watch hair color process. It's like watching freaking paint dry. Nobody wants to do that. You go and you move on to your next client while they're processing. We're not going to be able to do that. And then you tie in the fact that our taxes are going to go way up to make up.
I love your passion. I really do. I have to take a break, but Beverly, thank you. I really do. I love your passion and your energy is fantastic. It really is. What do you say, right? What do you say? It's so frustrating, the disparity. I see it myself in South Jersey. I mean, I go to Best Buy. I can do curbside pickup there. They bring what I need out. They put it right in the trunk. But the Bed Bath & Beyond, literally right next door, can't be open for curbside. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense, you know? Either we're putting the employees of Best Buy at risk, or we should be open. Every store should be able to at least, at a minimum, do curbside pickup. But you know what? I've been saying that since March, that they should have curbside pickup everywhere since March. Because if one can do it, why can't they all do it? 855-839-1210. Am I crazy? I mean, are you worried? Look, do you think that there's going to be more outbreaks because of this? Are you worried about that? 855-839-1210. It's me, Rich Zeoli, back with you on Afternoon Drive. I just saw a headline. Los Angeles Times, I retweeted this. I said, welcome to the party, pal. The economic devastation wrought by the pandemic could ultimately kill more people than the virus itself. That's from the Los Angeles Times. So there you go. I mean, we've been saying this for how long now? I've been saying this since March. And they used to yell at me and say, well, you don't care about people's lives by bringing up something like that. Amazing. 855-839-1210. Let me go to Dave is in Hamilton. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Rich. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Very well. Having my afternoon IPA here now that I'm out of work. Listening to you.
Well, I'm honored. So what kind of IPA are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Dogfish 60 Minute. Quite a good
beer. That's a good one. That's a good local Delaware. Good stuff.
Yeah. I have plenty of stock to burn up right now. I have a bar and restaurant here in Hamilton. And nobody's talking about what a raw deal the bars, restaurants, hairdressers, and the little independents are getting here with this loan. This loan is a joke. And I watch a lot of news, and nobody's talking about it. I mean, in order to get any value or forgiveness out of the loan, you have to get back to full employment. And after that, it's a ratio. So how can I get back to full employment if I'm closed and I only have till June 15th to use any of that loan for forgiveness? After that, there is no forgiveness. Now, I did talk to Van Drew's office, and they said they're working on getting some of those rules changed. But nobody's talking about this. People think we got a bailout. But we got nothing. The little guy like us, you know, I have to start paying this loan back in 6 months at a rate of almost $12,000 a month. I mean, it's a joke. Yeah, nobody's talking about it. That's
crazy. You're not even allowed to be open yet. Let me ask you, first of all, Dave, first of all, what's the name of your bar and restaurant?
It's Rocco's Townhouse.
Okay.
Been here 37 years.
Very. I was going to say, it's a landmark place in Hamilton. Everybody knows it.
We're an institution.
Yes, you are. So are you able to do curbside delivery, anything like that at this point?
Yeah, we are. And we did it for a week or two. But my place, my menu, it just really, you know, it just wasn't worthwhile.
Yeah. I understand completely. Could you...
I mean, I can't...
Were you allowed to do delivery or pickup of alcohol?
Yes.
You are. Okay,
good. You are.
Good.
But, I mean, the liquor stores, let's face it. If you're going to stay at home and drink, what are you going to come buy a bottle of wine from me for when you could just stop at the liquor store and pick it up for less than I can even sell it to you, than I can buy it for, you know?
Now, as far as reopening goes, I read today that the New Jersey Restaurant Association was talking about reopening guidelines and, you know, 50% capacity and seating people 6 feet apart. I mean, does that work for you?
Oh, yeah. I could live with that. That's fine. I can live with that because I have a big enough place that I can spread them out. I have a whiskey bar downstairs that normally seats about 150, but I could spread that out into dining. So I could, and I have some outdoor seating as well. So I can live with whatever percentage they deem. I'll find a way to live with.
But so why can't you be open right now, though, is my question. I've been pushing this point for a long time, Dave. You should be able to be open now, especially with the outdoor seating, right away.
Right. Of course. Yeah. I know. We know what it's about. Bleed the state as much as you can. McConnell, I don't have a lot of faith in him. I've liked him more this past 6 months or a year, but I don't have a ton of faith that they're going to use this to get all the money that they have just totally burned up the last few years, number of years. And this is I don't see how this can't be their plan. It's so easy to figure out. I mean, and they're holding us hostage, basically.
Dave, I look forward to the day when I can come back into Rocco's and we'll have a drink together, my friend.
Yeah, we're on the way to the shore, so nothing would make me happier than to buy you and the wife a drink and the kids a dessert or something. So you look me up anytime, and I'll keep listening in the morning. I start my day with you. You're terrific. Dawn, the whole team, great job. Keep it up.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Thank you, Dave. 855-839-1210. I've been to his place a bunch. I've been to pretty much every place, though, in Jersey in my political years. Whiskey bars are always a good place to go down and chat. You know, the dark, smoke-filled back rooms. Not that you can actually, you know, smoke anymore at bars, but you certainly do a cigar outside at his place, which I've done. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. This is the frustration that's killing people right now. It's just killing people. And there's no science behind it. And there's no science behind why you can't have a restaurant open outside. Some of these, think about it from this perspective. I remember when I was a kid, right? I remember being a kid and going to a diner and making a snarky joke about leaving the waitress a good tip. And she set me right. And she said, you know, this is, I live on tips. This is how I survive. This is my family. This is how I feed my kids. This is how I live. And I was like a snotty high school kid, you know, and it woke me up to the fact that, my God, people actually work for a living, you know? Not that my dad didn't. I mean, my dad was a cop and everything like that. I'm just saying, it was just one of those moments where I was like, wow. I never thought about it differently ever again. From that moment forward, I was always thinking about people that work in hospitality. These waiters and waitresses, bartenders, people that are line cooks, these other people, I mean, the struggle that they're enduring. And these are not one percenters we're talking about here. You know, the margins are so thin on these places already. How are they going to survive if we don't get them open right away? What about the diner waitress that's trying to feed a couple kids, a single mom trying to feed a couple kids, keep a roof over her head, hasn't been to work now in going on 3 months? You know, what about that? What about the place that mostly relied on people, yes, coming in and having drinks at the bar for their income to be able to generate tips? And what does that guy do? He's got a wife at home who's maybe pregnant, and he was a bartender doing well. Now he can't work. I mean, at what point are we going to say enough is enough on behalf of these people? We got to stand up and say enough is enough. Do they not matter? I thought they mattered. I thought that this whole battle in this country between the right and the left was about everybody versus the one percenters. Well, none of these people are one percenters, and they're all struggling right now. And it's this jerk Phil Murphy, who is a one percenter, by the way, who won't let these people make a living. He's the one who came from Goldman Sachs. He's the one sitting on tens of millions of dollars, maybe more, with a place in Italy and a place in Germany, a guaranteed government paycheck. You think this arrogant guy knows a damn thing about what that waitress is going through, that bartender, what he's going through? Do you think he cares? He doesn't care. That's the one percenter problem that you always hear Bernie Sanders lamenting the one percenters. This jerk is a one percenter right there, very definition of it. And he's literally now, by his own will, without a single vote of the legislature, without the single consent of anybody else, he is singularly destroying these people's livelihoods to a point where they're not going to be able to recover. But Phil Murphy doesn't have to worry about that. Tom Wolf doesn't have to worry about that. He's another rich guy in Pennsylvania. I'm not a rich guy. You know, despite what people think about being on the radio, it's not like it was back in the day, and I'm not nationally syndicated. I don't really even ever care to be. I'm just happy to do what I do. Thank God. I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed. But I think about these arrogant politicians with their millions of dollars who are making decisions right now. They're forcing people that live at $30,000 a year, forcing them right now to be out of work. And then threatening to arrest them and threatening to take away their insurance and threatening to take away their business license if they dare open up because they got to feed their children. It's an outrage. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. It's me, Rich, back with you in Afternoon Drive, coming right back. Hope you'll wake up with us tomorrow morning from 5:30 to 9. I was just checking out a couple stories that really piqued my interest today. I do have to mention the amazing thing about this whole battle today between Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci. The people that are blasting Rand Paul on Twitter, I would just like to give them a public service announcement, if I could, real quick. Rand Paul is also a doctor. Right. Not a fake doctor. A real doctor. Not a doctor on TV. He's a real freaking doctor with an actual MD after his name. No disrespect to DOs. I consider them, of course, real doctors as well. What I mean by fake doctors is he didn't come up with his, like, you know, they always say, like on The View, they said Jill Biden should be Surgeon General because she's a doctor. Well, she has a doctorate. She has a PhD. No disrespect to PhDs. You worked hard for it. You earned it. Good for you. But you're also not a medical doctor. So anyway, but Rand Paul is a medical doctor in addition to being a senator. So when I see all these people on Twitter blasting him today, how dare you question Dr. Fauci? Well, Rand Paul's a doctor too. So, you know, it's like getting what they call that a, what's the term for it? What's the phrase for it? A second opinion. Right. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Let me go to Maureen in Wynwood. Hi, Maureen.
Hey, Rich. A couple things I want to say. First of all, I worked in an operating room for almost 30 years. I survived the AIDS epidemic right up front and close and personal to all the blood, guts, and gore that were ever given to any of us. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
You were correct when you said, if you think your cloth mask isn't good enough, you should wear your cloth mask and then wear your other N95 mask over it. Because I truly believe, and I'm not the only one, if they get damp, they're not the same effectiveness if they don't.
Well, that's okay, backed up by that's backed up by clinical trials that several different health agencies have done with cloth masks. I mean, they're better than nothing, but you would never wear one on the front lines treating a patient. You would never wear one.
No, I absolutely wouldn't, but I don't think people believe that. Like, we keep telling them, and they're like, well, it's probably okay. No, it's not. So put your cloth mask on, put your N95 mask on, put your gloves on, put your global mask gloves on, peel them off by sticking your fingers underneath the first set of gloves and peeling them off, washing them, and keeping your other gloves on.
Yeah.
Now listen, Rich, I know you think I'm insane.
I don't think you're insane. You're a nurse. I don't think you're insane. My wife had a baby, as you know, back in April. Nobody there was wearing a cloth mask. My concern is a false sense of security, much like the TSA at the airports. I'm not saying people should not wear them. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that in some cases, it might be a false sense of security. And I'd like to know, if they are so effective, why everything is not open with people wearing cloth masks then, for example.
Agreed. Totally agreed. That's why you need at least a double set. That's my whole point.
Well, listen, it's a good point, Maureen, and God bless you, my dear, and thank you for calling, and I appreciate it, and I hope you stay safe. The problem, though, is that everybody jumps on you if you even raise questions. I said the other day, I said, people go to the stores, they have a mask on, but they're touching, they're rubbing their eyes, and the virus can get through your eyes, like most viruses can. The mask is not a cure-all here. But again, if the mask can keep us safer than without a mask, I'm all for it if we can reopen our economy. But here's the thing. I have to wear a mask, but not everything's open. So I don't understand that. You're asking me to do my part. I'm doing my part. I'm asking you, government, do your part, open everything and make us wear masks, okay? Or ask us to wear masks, I should say. But they won't do that. You notice that? They won't do that. They tell us to wear a mask, but they still keep everything closed. This is why we shake our heads and go, this makes no sense. We're all willing to wear a mask. Cloth, whatever, we'll wear it. Just let us get back to normalcy with businesses open so these poor people do not die from economic devastation. Government turns around and goes, you're required not to wear a mask in a store. Okay, does that mean you're opening up all the stores? Oh, no, 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 silly, no. Absolutely makes no sense. It's very frustrating, and this is why people are just tuning them out. I'm telling you right now, they're tuning you out. Pam is in, I'm sorry, let me go to Pam. Hi, Pam, how are you?
Oh, I'm great, Rich. How are you? Thank you so much for all that you're doing for us. I'm just so frustrated, and I just love listening to you call them out for what they are.
Our governor is... Thank you, I appreciate that.
Are you really? I mean, Rich, he's a control freak, and it's so upsetting for me as an American. I'm 65 years old, and I never thought that I would live to see the day where we have someone in Trenton like this, but you're calling him out every day, and thank you, because you're doing a fabulous job, and so is all the people on your team. So keep plugging away, and just like, we need to open. You're right, we need to open now. The people are dying from, like you said, starvation, heart attacks, strokes. It's just, I want to cry because I think of all the people that are unemployed that are not getting a paycheck, like our state workers, like our teachers. They're all getting paid. All the state workers in the country that work for the federal government have a paycheck. No one's upset because they're getting paid. So I'm sorry, I'm ranting, but thank you.
No, you're not.
You're so
welcome.
Much.
And my pleasure. Pam, what a nice call. Thank you so much, my dear. Have a great night. I'm happy to be back with you, and I'm happy to give you a place to vent. It's my pleasure, and I'll be back tomorrow morning with you from 5:30 to 9, so please tune in then. Have a great night. Keep the faith. Don't lose hope. I'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.